The Accounting Influencers Podcast.
Cutting through the crap to bring you the very best interviews, insights and wisdom.
From the planet's most influential people in the accounting and fintech world. The Accounting Influencers Podcast.
And thank you to our special sponsors, Iris Software, iris.co.uk. Martin, you saw a great video just recently from Iris, didn't you?
Yeah, what I think people don't understand about Iris is they were ahead of the game for MTD Phase 1 because they were the first software vendor to be listed as approved by the HMRC for MTD filing. And guess what? They're fully prepared for the next. So they've got an MTD webinar on demand that you can catch up with at any time. Rob, where do they go to see this?
It's iris.co.uk/MTD webinar. That's Centre for Making Tax Digital for our international listeners. And there's some great stuff there that you need to know to guide you through the whole Making Tax Digital initiative. So iris.co.uk/MTD webinar. Right, Martin?
That's right. So wherever you are in your journey, Iris know that they have the knowledge and tools to help you in the next steps. That's iris.co.uk/MTD webinar.
And welcome to our special guest this week, Steve Cox of Iris Software. Steve, hello to you.
Hey, Rob, how you doing?
Brilliant, Steve. Great to have you on the show. Stephen, for those people that haven't met you, just tell us a bit about your background and your areas of expertise.
Yeah, certainly. So I've been in the accountancy industry for over 20 years. I'm an accountant by trade, and I've worked for Iris for over 19 of those. I focus on more of our kind of our sales and marketing arena to try and help accountants to do what they do best, to help their clients. Iris has been around for over 42 years. And we've always had accountants at the heart of everything that we do. In fact, our heritage goes all the way back to accountants. In fact, IRIS is an acronym for Incomplete Record Information Systems, a tool for accountants to use. And we've never lost that heritage. Accountants have always been our primary client, someone who we focus on. Yes, we do want to help the end client, but through the accountant.
How do you feel the accounting firms and accountants themselves have fared during these challenging times last year or two?
You hear the horror stories of those firms who have really struggled and who have been there to help their clients at their own detriment, really, where they've been there trying to provide as much advice as possible without charging their clients. And they've struggled because of it. But then you've also got the great news stories of those firms that have been able to almost digitize or have been kind of digitized already and are now going to kind of like a truly digital firm who are really focusing on driving their clients in the right direction. Well, there's only two things sure in life, right? Death and taxes, and accountants take care of the taxes, right? So when it comes to something like a pandemic, a lot of the skill sets and the different service lines that they provide, even during recession times, kind of come back in the pandemic because you've still got to file a tax return. You need to look to how you can go and get the latest legislative advice so you can get the right government grants and information to help drive your own clients' businesses and help them go forward.
Just want to explain what Making Tax Digital is for our international listeners, Steve.
Yeah, so there was a review that was done by a man called Lord Carter, and he was asked ultimately to go and review the HMRC, who's our governing body for the tax legislation and collection of tax within the UK by the UK government. And he was asked to go and review it and to help to give a view as to where should the direction go. HMRC should start to remove paper from the process. Everything should be going digital, and there also should not be a reliance on HMRC to provide these services themselves. It should be done through third parties. It was kind of 2018 when we really started to see the starts of that in the UK. There was a closed beta, if you like, almost like a pilot scheme that was launched in the UK, which was for a small group of taxpayers where they would go from paying, providing information on tax returns annually to then doing it quarterly. Over the coming months, that then continued to expand until ultimately April 2019, when it was rolled out for all VAT registered businesses, which had a turnover above the VAT threshold, that they were required to do two things. One was keep records digitally, which is a real important point, and that's something that the rest of the world is starting to see as well. But also that they needed to send these the tax return details along with their VAT returns quarterly to HMRC via third-party software. In April 2022, so not that far away now, that registered businesses with taxable turnover under the VAT threshold are then going to be required to follow the same rules. A year later, it will then be all self-employed businesses and landlords who've got a kind of like property income as well above 10,000 will have to be included as well. So suddenly the reach and scope of MTD within the UK is growing phenomenally over the next few years. And it's all part of the government's drive to ultimately digitise the tax system in the UK. The important point is how the information from one record goes to another. And that's where it's going to have no human intervention. And that's what this kind of HMRC's dictating of what a digital record is comes into play. You've got to be able to take that data from one source to another without any human intervention. In other words, no rekeying. Because one of the biggest reasons for error on tax returns is human error. So therefore, if you can automate that, then that removes it from being an error and therefore would help to close the tax gap. So some clients are ready, some need a lot of coaching, and others don't want to do it at all. So therefore there's an opportunity for the accountant to take it off their hands and do it for them.
If accountants in practice listening to this right now think they want to get ahead of this or at least become compliant, what's the game plan?
Take a look at your own strategy, first of all, and kind of agree what you want to do. Generally, and I am generalising, it'll fall into one of three buckets. You'll either want to grow or scale your practice. Now, that might be scaling in profits. It might be scaling in income. It might be scaling in customer volumes. But ultimately, it's about growth. The other is then a better work-life balance, which coming off the back of the pandemic, I think is probably at the forefront of most people's minds right now. Do you want to reduce the amount of time you're working to get a better life balance? Or actually, have you found you've got more time to be able to focus on work? Or the third area is around like an exit strategy. I think they're starting to think about, right, okay, maybe I was going to go retire in 5 to 10 years. Maybe I'll bring that forward. Or someone who's thinking that far ahead is thinking, in 10 years, I want to retire. What do I need to do now? Yeah. So the first thing you've got to do is go profile your clients. Go and get an idea of the clients that are going to be affected and when. So you can start to set their expectations with them. You need to also start to determine your skill set internally within your own firm and what ultimately your client volumes are going to be like and how good are they at going to go and do these things digitally. Then you can start to expand that into more of the practice and start to go, right, okay, if we've got levels of skills within the team, what's our capacity like? What do we need more of? What do we need less of? What's the timelines going to look like? And ultimately start telling customers and their clients around that to say, right, just to let you know that in 12 months time, you're going to fall under this legislation. And here's your plan for success that we've done for you. The third area is then going to be around selecting technology, which obviously is going to be key to my own heart. But again, this is very much a case of thinking of both sides of it. You've got to think about what technology are you going to use for your clients? What are they already using compared to what do you use internally?
Surely there's some scepticism from CPAs and accountants that don't want to go through all of this. It's just added bureaucracy and admin.
So a lot of firms have been trying to drive a closer relationship with their clients for years. Okay. Being able to get a view of their records more frequently rather than annually helps them with that.
Yeah.
There's always the stigmatism, certainly in the UK, that our online filing deadline's the end of January. And normally it's a case of last week of January, your clients turn up with all the records. If suddenly you've got to do that quarterly, it spreads the workload across the year. It doesn't make it just this big bang effect at the end of January. If you can get the right kind of data in more regularly, you can advise on that more regularly to clients as well. So there's an opportunity for revenues there as well to help to kind of steer the direction of a firm rather than almost after the fact when you're doing your annual compliance for them. The way to look at it is those that are skeptical now is, well, actually, you kind of need to move this way because the digital agenda is going to this real-time world, which will, if you don't move now, you're going to really struggle.
How influential is Great Britain, the United Kingdom, in the international agenda for the accounting profession?
The UK have spoken to many other countries around this, right? So HMRC have been out, they spoke to different countries in Europe. They've spoken to different countries outside of that, Australia, New Zealand, been down to Brazil. They've been across to the US to understand what other countries are doing so that they can, one, share their plans and their thoughts with them, but also with a start of view of what does good look like.
Now, for the already busy accountant, does this mean more work for them, or is this where Irish steps in and takes on a lot of that heavy lifting and automation to make this easier?
So there's a huge amount of solutions out there, such as what we provide from Iris, where we can go and automate a lot of that work for them. So that then that way they don't have to do all of this heavy lifting, the moving of data from one source to another. If it all lives in one central database, which is what Iris is built on, then therefore any data change is only done once, not multiple times. And we live in a world of integration, not just within our own solutions, but with others. So you take some of the best bookkeeping solutions out there for Intuit's QuickBooks, for Xero, for Sage, for in the UK, Free Agent. They all integrate with Iris.
Is there a danger, Steve, at some point where accountants become so marginalised that they're redundant?
What this is really doing is just taking away the work that the accountant doesn't really want to go and do, doesn't want to have to go and do all of the number crunching in the background. What accountants want to be is business advisors. They want to help their clients to build future businesses, to increase their value, to ultimately give them some personal value into it as well. It starts to take the accountant out of the realms of compliance, taking a step forwards into the worlds of wealth management, into advisory, and then beyond that, into the world of niche services and things like that. I mean, you only have to take a look at the amount of investment that's gone into Bitcoin in the last year over the pandemic, and this is the global piece, but there's a real lack of accounting rules behind that. So therefore, who's best placed to advise on what to go and do?
That's very good point.
In these services.
Well argued. I take back my stance and details. If people want to have a conversation with you specifically, get in touch. What's a good way for them to reach you?
Yes, yeah, so the best way is always to reach out on LinkedIn. You can find me just straight away on LinkedIn, Stephen Christopher Cox. If anyone wants to email me directly, more than happy with that as well, which is just stephen.cox@iris.co.uk. And if you want to find out more about what either Iris is doing right now or around specifically MTD, and certainly for those CPA firms that are listening, to get a view of maybe what might be coming down the road for them, then go to iris.co.uk/MTD and you'll find out all the details of it, including webinars, recordings, documents, where you can go and kind of peruse at your leisure.
Special mention and shout out to accountex.co.uk. We've opened things up again, Martin, and they are in with a bang, aren't they?
After an 18-month absence from live events, Accountex is back and it's in the north. This is the definitive event for our accountancy and finance professionals. The Accountex Summit North returns on the 20th and 21st of September at Manchester Central. For those of you who are old, that's the GMEX Centre in Manchester. There's over 1,300 accountancy and finance professionals coming along to join 80 global brands and cutting-edge startups to transform the way they do business. There's also a CPD-accredited education program with over 20 sessions, and that offers everything you need to get ahead in accountancy and finance.
It'll be a brilliant event. Go to accountex.co.uk/summit-north, and you'll get all the details right there. We might even see you there.
This is the Accounting Influencers Podcast with Rob Brown and Martin Bissett.